The Ozark National Scenic Riverways made the most endangered rivers list this year because we're afraid it's being, quite frankly, loved to death. Pollution, erosion, and poor management are threatening this river that is loved by thousands and thousands of people in the area.
What kind of poor management are you talking about?
Well, you know, we think it's a great example of the huge public demand for river access and recreation. Unfortunately, we don't think the National Park Service is properly managing the access and giving the river the proper protection it needs. So what we'd like to see happen is a plan in place that allows access and recreation, but also protects the river's clean water and makes sure that it will continue to be a special place for future generations.
Actually, the Ozark Scenic Rivers is several rivers. It's the Jack's Fork, the 11 Point, and I forget what all we have.
Mm-hmm.
The current. But doesn't that kind of make it hard to control access to these when you've got three rivers sprawling over a huge area, largely forested?
It is a challenge, absolutely, and there have been new kind of unofficial trails created. There have been more and more access points to the river created by people who, you know, we all love camping, we all love the river, we all want to spend time on the river, and so we just need to make sure we're balancing that access and recreation with the things that we need to do to protect the river's clean water and wildlife and the special experience that, you know, people come to the river for that experience. So let's protect it and make sure that, you know, it will be there for us for years to come.
Many years ago, I was on the Colorado, and I think we had to have a permit for our group before we could go on to the Colorado. Are you looking at something like that system to help our rivers here?
You know, we want the National Park Service to first kind of step back and look at the problems, look at the threats, and look at all the potential solutions. I think there's a great opportunity here for public input. The public and the people who love and use these rivers need to speak up, and they actually, we're giving them an opportunity on our website, AmericanRivers.org. People can go and send a letter to the Park Service about what they'd like to see happen.
I know in past years there's been a lot of concern about agricultural runoff into these rivers. Is that still a problem in your view?
You know, yes, it is still a problem. We choose the endangered rivers list every year based on a critical decision that's happening in the coming year where people can weigh in and make an impact. So, you know, that's kind of how the threats are highlighted. Agricultural pollution, though, it is an ongoing problem. We're still working on addressing.
In the past, you've had the Missouri River on several times. Why didn't the Missouri make the grade this year?
Well, the Missouri is not on the list this year, but we are giving a special mention to the Mississippi River for obvious reasons. The record flood is just creating havoc up and down the river for many communities, and we think it's a wake-up call for the need to improve our flood protection policies, which obviously will benefit communities along the Mississippi and the Missouri and rivers nationwide. But we need to do a much better job of protecting communities from floods. We think that means restoring our natural defenses, like healthy wetlands and floodplains, which soak up floodwaters and also provide a host of other benefits, like clean water and wildlife habitat.
Both the Missouri and the Mississippi River has been channelized for many, many years. Is that part of the problem, the channelization of the rivers?
It is a big problem. And, you know, that when we create levees, what we're really doing is just pushing the high water levels and the flooding problem to downstream communities. And we need to step back and take a much bigger look and look at our rivers more broadly and try to create solutions and restoring wetlands and floodplains throughout the rivers so that levees aren't our only line of defense or our last line of defense. We need to create, you know, better strategies along the rivers.
Now, here in Missouri, just a week or 10 days ago, we had a big controversy when they blew open a levee at Bird's Point, which is in southeast Missouri,
yep,
to let the water flow through a floodway to take,
yeah,
the pressure off of Cairo. Is that a legitimate way to control the floods, in your view?
Well, it is, you know, it is... it is a legitimate way, but we think that if we can look holistically at a river and find places where we can set levees back or even breach some levees, restoring wetlands and floodplains along the tributaries, along the river, creating these, you know, the natural sponges that wetlands can create, that can go a long way, hopefully, towards avoiding these crisis situations, which obviously we find ourselves in today.
Of course, whenever you start talking about that kind of thing, you're going to have property owners say, wait a minute, this is my land, I farm it,
yep.
And I don't want you people taking it away from me and turning it into some wetlands.
Right.
How do you overcome that kind of property rights issue with these folks?
Well, we think there's an opportunity in the upcoming farm bill, and it should give farmers the option to, or perhaps some incentives to experiment with flood-friendly crops, different alternatives there. Obviously, there are benefits here, and if farmers are going to restore some of their lands, then they can be compensated for that.
Let's get back to the scenic rivers for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the scenic rivers is that God's not creating any more of these things.
Right.
And that not only speaks to the situation the rivers themselves are in, but it also speaks to why we can't just say, okay, we're going to create new places for people to float. And that is kind of the conundrum, I guess, that everybody has to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah, these places are so precious, and you know, they're so rare. We don't have many wild rivers left where people can go and have a remote, beautiful river experience. And so many people are hungry for that, which this is just illustrated on the riverways. There's an incredible demand for paddling and fishing on these rivers. And that's just why we need to make sure that we're protecting them, that we're managing them properly, and you know, we want to be able to go to these places with our kids and grandkids. And that's why we hope that the National Park Service will step up and do a better job managing the river.
It strikes me that American Rivers is just one of many organizations that is speaking on behalf of this or that part of the outdoors. And the kinds of things that you folks are talking about with your annual list of 10 rivers really just reflects the demands that an increasing population is putting on the opportunity to be away from concrete and tall buildings. And it's a lot of pressure on the outdoors.
Yeah, that's right. There's huge demand from the public to get out, get some fresh air, find some clean water, see some wildlife, have a good time with friends and family, and the rivers give us that. That's the wonderful thing about rivers, is that they are close by to our communities. I mean, the riverways are a great example of a wild river, but people have, you know, rivers and streams in our backyards, and they're just a great opportunity to connect with nature. All the more reason to protect and restore them, and make sure that we're living in harmony with our rivers.
What other rivers do you have on your list this year?
Well, the number one river is the Susquehanna River. It flows through New York, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. It's threatened by natural gas extraction, which is threatening clean drinking water for Americans along the river there. Other rivers, the Yuba River, threatened by hydropower dams in California. The Black Warrior River in Alabama, threatened by coal mining. So there are a variety of issues and rivers all across the country on the list this year.
Where does the Ozark Scenic River stack up 1 through 10?
It's number 10.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Does that mean they just barely made the list, or does that mean that you just don't really rank them that tightly?
No, you know, they're not ranked all that tightly. I think if you're, you know, if you make the endangered list, if you're one of the top 10, you're one of the top 10.
Do you rank anything below the top 10? 10 to 20?
It's just 10 rivers.
Just the 10. Okay.
Yeah, although we did give the Mississippi a special mention, so that's kind of, we have 11 rivers this year, I guess you could say.
Yeah. You look at the Mississippi, and that's not a river that, well, it's a river that some people get out on with their boats and their canoes, but I don't think it's really considered a sporting river per se. Is there a way to turn that into some kind of a more of a recreational river and that might take some pressure off of the smaller streams? And is it even worth considering?
You know, I think when we look at the Mississippi River and recreation, there are pockets of parks along the river, but I think that if we could do a better job creating little pockets along the river for recreation, for parks and wildlife, and those same kinds of parks could help with easing some of the flood threats. If we create little release valves, if you will, along the river for the river to spread out when it floods, you know, that can help downstream communities, protect downstream communities, and provide places for people to fish and, you know, watch wildlife, go canoeing. So we need to look at this river and come up with a vision for protecting the whole Mississippi River, improving flood protection, doing a better job at protecting the river's water quality and wildlife, and American Rivers is certainly dedicated to working with our partners to do that.
Amy, do you and your folks actually get out on these rivers and look at them before you put the rankings together?
Oh, yeah. We've got, American Rivers has staff around the country, and we work closely with local partner groups. The partners nominate the rivers for the list, and so, you know, between American Rivers staff and our partners, we know these rivers very well, and we monitor them throughout the year.